Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son and our Savior is with you in eternal glory. Give us faith to see that, true to his promise, he is among us still and will be with us to the end of time, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us Romans to adopt and observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them there securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. At that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 97 responsively. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad.
Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne.
A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies on every side.
His light is the light of the world. The earth sees it and is afraid.
The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Confounded be all who worship carved images and delight in false gods. Bow down before him, all you gods.
Zion hears and is glad, and the cities of Judah rejoice. Your judgment, O God.
For you are the Lord, most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
The Lord loves those who hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints and deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
Light has sprung up for the righteous, and joyful gladness for those who are true-hearted.
Rejoice in the Lord, the righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Glory to the Father, and to your Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. "See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord. If God grants a slave girl who didn't ask for healing, if God grants that slave girl healing, how much more will God grant the prayer of Jesus who prays for unity of the church? If the weak and feeble testimony of a demon disturbed Paul so much, how much more does the weak and feeble testimony of a divided church disturb all those who have gone before us? When we divide the church, when we feed the division of the church, when we profit by the division of the church, we deny all those saints and martyrs who gave their lives as a witness that faith is above division. When we close the door to dialogue, when we fail to spread the truth of unity, then we fail to give power to Jesus' prayer that all may be one as we are one. It looks like there's more disunity in the church and in the world than there is unity. It looks like division rather than unity is par for the course in the church. But the truth is, God has answered this prayer of Jesus that all would be one. We are one as the Father and the Son are one. That's the truth. What is untrue, what is sinful, is the division that we practice. So how is this unity true when we experience so much division, so much disunity and conflict in the church? For one thing, the unity of this prayer goes beyond a certain time, beyond a time frame and a certain generation. The disciples who were gathered around that table with Jesus 2,000 years ago and heard these words were sent into the world to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, and the people who responded to their message became believers. Those believers took that word to the next generation, and new people, more people became believers, and on and on. That circle of believers reaches from one generation to the next, from the disciples even to our present generation. That circle of believers goes on and on. One generation of believers spreading the news to the next generation. This beautiful prayer of Jesus for the unity of the church envisions that long line of followers stretching all the way from the first apostles all the way to heaven, to that heavenly kingdom that we heard described in the book of Revelation. This long line of believers shares not only fellowship with one another, but with Jesus and the Father as well. This is the unity that Jesus prayed for. The unity is the good news that is passed from generation to generation. There is only one truth of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful image? That circle of believers reaching from one generation to the next, reaching out to the unbelievers, pulling those unbelievers into this circle of believers from generation to next generation, like a spiral getting bigger and bigger, that circle of friends and believers. Any of you interested in genealogy, family history? I was talking to one of the junior high students this week, and she was telling me about her project. In eighth grade, I guess they have to do an extended genealogy, a great, big, important project. She was getting concerned about this undertaking. And I remember one of my mother's cousins wrote a book about the family history and traced my mother's family, the Tellon clan, back to the early 1600s. And as I looked at that book, I remembered the thing that really fascinated me was the number of times the same name came up, generation after generation. Not only the same name, but the same occupation. There, in almost every generation, there's a Nicholas, a Matthias, and a Raymond. And in every generation, there are farmers, undertakers, and bakers. I don't know how I fit into that line. I have presided at a few funerals, and I'm planting seeds all the time. Hope I am. And I have been known to be. My husband reminds me that I used to do that. But genealogy is interesting because we can see the link back and back and back. And we can also project to the future. Jesus' prayer for unity is an affirmation of this communion of saints, this circle of unity that takes in past and future believers. And this circle doesn't end until heaven. It's a good reminder for us not to get too wrapped up in the present. The church is bigger than one generation. We sometimes start to panic about the current problems in our church. Be reminded then that this prayer of Jesus is for us and for our great, great, great grandchildren. That this is
The unity is the message of Jesus Christ, not just for this generation, but for the past as we circle them. So what does it mean, Jesus Christ, that we would be one? This oneness that Jesus prayed for is patterned on the oneness of the Father and the Son. There is in that relationship of the Father and the Son a unity, an equality. But oneness does not mean sameness. It holds unity, but there is a separateness as well as a unity, a distinction of individuals as well as a unity. Think of that scripture passage that talks about a husband and wife. The two will be made one. Two distinct people in marriage, but they share something that is unique. There is a unity, a oneness, but there is still a separateness and a distinction. This is a reflection of Jesus and the Father. Separate and yet one. So what does it say about the unity or the oneness of the church? We are equals and yet we are all different. Unity can be present without sameness. I'm happy that our church is dedicated to seeking unity, working with other churches to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Our church, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is a bridge builder church. We're a church that seeks to link Christians with other Christians for the sake of God's mission. Our church is always looking for ways to find connections with other church bodies for the sake of the ministry and the mission of God. We have relationships of full communion with a number of churches, with the Moravian Church, Presbyterian, Reformed Church in America, with the Episcopal Church, with the United Church of Christ. We are in formal dialogue, having official conversations with the Roman Catholic, United Methodist, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, AME Church, with the Mennonites, and with the Orthodox Church. We're in formal discussion with them. And of course, we are always looking for ways to work together with our other Lutheran brothers and sisters, especially those of the Missouri Synod. We see that so obviously in our own community. When we work with other Christian communities, and the Lutheran Social Service here in our own congregation, or in our own community, working with the ELCA and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, working together. The fact that we have dialogue partners and ecumenical partners doesn't mean that we're trying to become one big church. We're not trying to become one organic body. We're not seeking that. But being a bridge builder church means that we want to work together to spread the truth in word and in sacrament and in ministry and mission for the sake of the kingdom. We work together to preach that truth of Jesus Christ. I was remembering when I studied South Dakota state history, and I think you have to study that, your state history in fifth or sixth grade. And in South Dakota, when the Indian reservations were lined out, the federal government assigned a specific church to preach the gospel on a specific reservation, so that the Episcopal Church and the Roman Catholics and the Presbyterians were each given a different reservation, and they weren't supposed to go to the other reservation. So the Episcopal Church went to Sisseton, and the Roman Catholics went to Pine Ridge, and the Presbyterians went to Black Tawa. And there was a few other reservations around. The other churches were given that reservation. Churches working together then to spread the news of Jesus Christ, but not trying to all become one church, working together. Jesus prayed for our unity, but not unity for the sake of itself. You know, we don't sit around singing, the more we get together, the happier we are. We sing together, praying for unity of the message, but Jesus said it so that the world may believe, and that the world may come to know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So that the world might believe, and that they might know our unity, our oneness, is for the sake of the world, for the sake of the gospel, that it would be helpful in our mission, in our ministry, working together. Maybe it would be easier to understand this idea of oneness and unity if we talk about the church acting as one, or witnessing as one, rather than being one. Put some action into that word. Our primary purpose for existing, the primary content of Jesus' prayer, is that we, as one body, are effective in our witness in the world. Put some action into that word. Not just sit and be a believer, but to be for the sake of the world. That we are sent, as those apostles were sent, to tell the truth, to speak the news, the good news of Jesus Christ and his Father and their love. So this is the good news. Jesus and the Father are one. And we are pulled into that circle of love, into that circle of unity that is never ending, that is ongoing. God is love, and we are loved. We are part of that circle. Now, after Jesus prayed this prayer with his apostles, he went to the cross. He proved his love for us, for you, and for me. He opened wide his arms on the cross, willingly gave his life out of love for you and for me. This is the love that never ends. This is the love that never dies. This is the circle of God's love that has no end. And this is the good news that we are invited to share with others. We are invited to share that news of Jesus and his love. May that prayer of Jesus be fulfilled in each one of us. That the world would see our unity, that the world would see our love, and come to know Jesus, and know Jesus' love for them.